Amen. So with the time that I have, we're just going to get right into the word. So my title this morning is Real Change Now, Go Bring a Friend. Again, that's our theme, right? Real change now, go bring a friend. And so this morning, we're going to be talking out of Luke 5. And I want to establish a friend. A friend is one attached to another by affection or esteem, such as an acquaintance, an associate, a brother, companion, fellow, lover, neighbor, partner, or sister. Someone that is more intimate than that guy. Y'all remember who that guy is, right? Like my kids always say when I get the brother nod to somebody, you know that guy? I'm like, no, I'm just being friendly. So it's somebody that's more intimate that you know that's more intimate than that guy, right? And so again, let's go, if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, go ahead and flip to Luke 5, 17 and 20, 17 through 20, excuse me. And if you have your electronic devices, your Bibles, go ahead and lift them high in the air so that we can do our Bible affirmation. Amen. Y'all ready? Amen. On the count of three. One, two, three. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. And Lord, I just anticipate you speaking this morning, you moving because you're already here. Thank you, Lord God, for this day that has been strategically planned and intentional for you to move, Lord God, for you to have your way and for you to speak a word that will truly change our lives forever. Set me aside, Father God, that you would get all the glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? Amen. So if you get to Luke 5, 17 through 20, you realize this is the story about how Jesus heals the paralytic man, right? So let's go ahead and read verses 17 through 20. Amen. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, how many of us actively participated and brought a friend today? Any show of hands? How many of us bring a friend? Amen. Amen, praise the Lord. So we did have some folks that actively participated. Now, for those of us who didn't actively participate, what's your excuse? What you got in your wallet that you couldn't invite a friend this morning? Did you tell a friend about it at least? Because put it this way, how many of us knew about today, that today was coming? Hands high, hands up high, hands up high, all right? So you knew about it. How many of us, okay, hands still up. How many of you told somebody about it? Okay. So then they just didn't show up then. Somebody said, that's their fault. Now, mind you, you will get this because, again, y'all are invited to their service this morning. So this is what I deal with on a regular, right, teachers? We will sit there and be preaching and teaching, and next thing you know, it's just like you got the sidebar that, boom, but it's intentionally placed because it's relevant. Amen. And so would you agree with me if I said it's hard to bring somebody to church or anywhere for that matter if you didn't tell them about it, right? I mean, think about this, kids. How many of you like going to laser tag? How many people like going to laser tag? But would you be interested in going to laser tag? You want to go to laser tag? How about you? You want to go to laser tag? As exciting as laser tag may be, that's not exciting. I don't want to go anymore. Not with you, at least. I mean, I'm like, let's go to laser tag. Let's do it. we're going to laser tag. And I'm excited. I mean, kids are excited for that day to come. But if it's like, I got a party and you want to come, I'm not excited. I don't care. There ain't no amount of cake that's going to make me want to go to that party. And y'all know how much I like cake. But I'm like, And so again, think about this. What was the last book that you read? Well, actually, this might be a Pastor Jen question because she's the only one I know that's excited about reading books. Amen. What about, what was the last movie? I know we could all relate. What's the last movie or TV show that you watched that you were excited about? All right? Now we're spinning. Yeah, that's my show. My wife just got hooked on to This Is Us. Yes. Now, mind you, she's way behind the curve. What was like 2 seasons back, I think, season and a half back. But anyway, she gets onto social media, and next thing you know, it's like, how come nobody told me about this show? Like, I would have been with y'all from week to week, season to season, but yet y'all left me behind. How come nobody told me how good this show, out of millions of people who think this show is interesting, how come nobody told me? Y'all ain't my friends. And so, don't you share with friends some things that you're passionate about? Things that you know that motivate you that you think would motivate them. Things that you're passionate about that you think they'd be interested in, right? You would tell your friends about them. You would tell strangers about it. Have you seen This Is Us? Better get on board. But it's the same passion that we should have about Jesus and this excitement that we have. Hey, man, today is bring a friend to church day. Come on. Come on. Come with me. Follow me now. You were excited, but if you're just like, you want to go to church? I may not want to come. I might be a believer in Jesus, and I'm excited about Jesus, but I may not want to go to your church. I might go back to my church. So again, could it be in our delivery as to why folks didn't show up? I don't know. I'm going to leave it right there. I want to do a demonstration. Not everyone is, I'm going to say this with a caveat. Not everyone is going to be as excited as you and sharing your views and your interests. But what you find to be good and funny may be corny to somebody else. Y'all may not know what corny is. That's just me. It might be stupid. It might be silly, you know. It might not pique someone else's interest. But you might think it's like off the hook. Now, if I go on YouTube and I type in P-I-N-E, somebody tell me what the heck a pineapple pin is. Somebody tell me what a pineapple pin is. Tell me, please tell me. Educate everybody. What is a pineapple pin? Somebody tell me. Let's not wait for Jordan. Just go ahead and tell me. Are you kidding me? Look here. These are my kids, and these are the people that I'm excited about. Doesn't make me want to know what a pineapple pin is. But what I think to be corny or silly, there are over 110 million viewers who think this is interesting. Or think about this. Why can 701 million viewers tell me what does the fox say? For those of you who don't know what a fox says, please tell me what does the fox say. Please tell them and share with them. What does a fox say? I've never heard a fox talk. I've never heard him say nothing, But 701 million viewers all of a sudden know, what does a fox say? Cling, 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 cling. Ding, 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 ding. Hati, hati, hat ho. I'm not interested. 701 million, I got interested because I had to find out why. And even after viewing a video, I'm not interested. I just wasted like, what, 7 minutes of my time that I ain't getting back. Now, mind you, this video has 701 million viewers and parodies that have millions of other views. So what I believe to be silly or corny, 701 million people beg to differ. I don't know. Parents, let me ask you this. When did a half-drunken water bottle become this? Jordan, come here, please, because I don't know what I'm doing. Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing, but this young man knows what he's doing. Please show them what, tell me, what's the phenomenon behind this? Yeah, no pressure. Oh! 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 When did that become a phenomenon? All that is you better drink that water, through that water. What this became is little sizes. You're not going to finish that, so I need you to get this. And I'm going to need you to put your name on it so you know which one to come back to. Y'all give it up for Jordan. But guess what? I'm not done. Think about the songs and the reactions that get triggered. Please.
I've been watching you.
And this is the Running Man challenge. I don't remember that being a Running Man. That's what I remember. I remember something like that. That's like the hobby horse. But the song comes on and kids lose their minds. But it's not just kids. It's grown adults. Obviously, millions of people find this interesting. What about this? When did it become so interesting to freeze? Hey, parents, isn't this what you want on a regular? Not just when the little melody comes on. I'm going to need you to behave. Just sit down. Go read a book. How about read a book? They don't want to read no book, though. I mean, it is what folks find interesting, it baffles me. But millions of people beg to differ. What about? Yeah, what the? What was that? So again, music just triggers them to lose their minds. They get pumped and excited about this. I don't get it. Some of you may not even get it. But they get it. They get it. And again, it's social media. Social media is doing this. But again, it's one person's interest shared with the world. wide web. And it doesn't matter what I think. It may not matter what you think. But there are millions of viewers that beg to differ. But it's the same thing. Just like there's millions of viewers, there's billions of people that need to know about Christ. And with that same passion that we have to... Do we have that? Look, even Nathan back there doing it. Do we share that same passion to get folks, to bring folks to Christ, to get folks to know about Christ? Amen. Millions to billions. We need that. So again, today was very strategic to tell a friend how cool church can be, how awesome God is. And it's to pique our interest and to pique their interest to get to know who God is. And so how do we recognize the character of a friend? In verse 17, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him." Now, if you knew Jesus was in town, and you had an opportunity to get to him to be healed, wouldn't you go? Right? And if you had a friend that needed a healing, wouldn't you take him there? And so I want to show you this. Help in a friend's time of need is my first point. Help in a friend's time of need. See, I'm sure the paralyzed man would if he could, but he couldn't get to Jesus on his own. And so his friends did what they could because they couldn't pass on the hope of a healing. They weren't just like, "Bumming, bruh. Check it out." No, they didn't do that. They did something about it. They were very intentional. "We got to get this man to Jesus. And Jesus is in town. We got to get him there." They believed that their friend could be healed if they could just get him to Jesus. But getting to Jesus didn't come without some resistance in the form of the crowds and of the Pharisees and leaders of the teachers of the law, who, of course, would have been up front. "No, you ain't getting up here. Get out of here." They're not trying to give up their distinguished seat. But there are crowds of people. And could you imagine these men trying to drag this paralyzed man through this crowd? It ain't happening. All this is taking place with some resistance. But even though this task to get there through the crowd, to get their friend to see Jesus, they had to combat resistance with persistence. Which brings me to my number two point. Be persistent to get your friend to Jesus. Be persistent to get your friend to Jesus. Now, in verse 19, it says, "And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd," I said because of the crowd, which is resistance, "they went up on the housetop and let him down with his friend through the tiling into the midst before Jesus." In this case, the resistance was crowds of people. But much like what we deal with at times, could the resistance have been the paralytic man himself? See, could it be, "Woe is me. I wish I could do the running man challenge. But I'm stuck here doing the mannequin challenge for real." Okay, that was too low. But you know what I mean? I mean, he's stuck. But he's stuck in that mindset of never being healed. And here it is. We have this opportunity to get you to Jesus. And it's like, "No, I'm cool. Some of our friends, no, I'm cool. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to go to your church. I'm an atheist." Whatever the belief may be, whatever the scenario is, it's an excuse. But yet, as a persistent friend, you don't give up. You don't give up. The fact is that this passage didn't state who initiated the journey. Did he ask his friends to bring him? Or did his friends just grow tired of carrying him around? It didn't state who initiated the contact. But regardless of the obstacles they would they would not be denied of the destination to bring them to Jesus to be healed. And so instead of giving up, they found another way. What? What? They had to find another way. And so as Nathan is demonstrating, he's like way up in the clouds here. Now, as y'all mind Nathan, Nathan's plan is he's having trouble, technical difficulties, getting me the drone. But here it comes. Instead of finding the excuse to just say it ain't happening, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. Instead of giving up, his persistence paid off. Amen? Y'all give it up for Nathan. How come I can't do that? Guess what? I couldn't. That's why I had to get Nathan to do it. I tried. Believe me, I tried. I was like, hey, man, this thing keep going up. No, I asked Nathan, yeah, I could do it. Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan, because boy, did I need that. So again, persistence overcomes the obstacle by finding another way to accomplish the task. See, there was no denying that they would do what they set out to do, and that was to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus to be healed, even if it took going through a roof. And so, and just like these friends, we may have friends or come across people who physically can't or don't know how to get to Jesus, but guess what? They need our help. And our persistence is what will bring them. We can't just ask once. We may not be able to ask twice or three times. It may take 4, 5, 6, 7. It may take even more than that. But be persistent in trying to get your friend to get to know Christ for themselves. Amen? Point number 3 is assist in a friend's salvation. See, watch this. In verse 20, it says, when he saw their faith, he didn't say his faith. He said their faith, which is the faith of the friends. See, mind you, get this. If they're on the roof and they lowered this man down to the floor, Jesus has now separated him singularly to them. There. They're on the roof. They dropped him through. They didn't come through the roof themselves. They lowered him. So he is now looking up like, what the? Their faith, man, your sins are forgiven. We got to be that friend that's that persistent, that would go through the hoops to get our friends to be healed. Salvation, sins forgiven. See, when Jesus saw their faith, the paralyzed man received salvation. The paralyzed man was the benefactor of their faith. His friends saw the need, they actively participated, and instead of giving up in their attempt to bring him to Jesus, their persistence paid off. In turn, they assisted in their friend receiving salvation. See, we can do the same thing with our friends by demonstrating the love of Christ, which can be seen as grabbing hold of their bed or whatever they may be laying on, praying for them, showing genuine concern for their concerns, speaking with them about Jesus, showing the love of Christ to them. That's how we grab hold and usher them into the presence of God. That their interest would be piqued to be interested in what your passion is about Christ. In some sports, assists are a stat that gives record because while most folks remember the goal scorer, we tend to forget about who the setup man was. That's why assists are so important. See, this man cannot get to Jesus on his own. He needed someone to help him. He needed somebody to drop the dime on him so that he can go for the score. Because now he can, because now that he can walk, so now he can just, But he needed somebody to set him up, you know? And so, likewise, we can assist. Just like it wasn't, see, mind you, just like it wasn't about the friends, it's not about us. But God wants to use us to assist in bringing folks to him, that those folks may be healed. I want to do something else a little special. I want to look out in, Nathan, come here. For doing such a good job. But Nathan, before you come, Nathan, I want you to pick out a friend. And I want you to bring that friend here to me. Now, Nathan, thank you for your friend. Here is an iTunes gift card for your friend. Cold-blooded. But that's what it was like. It was like they did all the work. They picked up their friend and brought him to Jesus, and he got benefited. Again, it's not about you. Even though this is for you, Nathan. For real, this is yours. For real. Yes. Do I got to leave it here? Again, it's not about us. It's not even about our preconceived notion of what our friends may need. Obviously, he was paralyzed. So obviously, he needed a healing, this miracle that he may walk again, that he may move again. But guess what Jesus did? Jesus didn't heal the paralyzed state he was in. He healed his soul. He healed and gave salvation. And if you're wondering, yeah, why didn't he heal the paralytic man? He came for a healing. Duh, he's saved now. We may have this preconceived notion of, I need my arm healed, my leg is broke, I need that healed, I need my heart healed. And yes, yes, but guess what? You need your soul saved first. See, again, what's the point of being healed of cancer when you're going to hell? What's the point of healing that crook in your neck when you don't have a relationship with Christ the giver? So you will be healed and then go off and do your own thing once again and still be removed from the relationship that you have with Christ. So again, the primary focus of what we saw was that he's paralyzed. Jesus saw something deeper. There was a deeper need that he saw, and he dealt with it, his way of healing. Was he healed? Yes, absolutely. And if you're interested, if you scrolled up a bit more, the 24, 25, you don't have to turn it, but if you read in your Bible for yourself, you will see that he healed his physical state as well. So again, his friends assisted to get him there, and he was double blessed. Not only was his soul saved, but he was physically healed too. But again, first, his soul was saved. And then the physical healing came. So it's not one or the other as far as what we feel that he need, or even if we're in that state, what we need. Well, Jesus, okay, that's great that my soul's saved, but I'm still stuck down here. So we even come sometimes with this preconception of what we need, and Jesus does something else. And then it's like, I don't know if this Jesus thing works. Dude, you're saved. You're not going to hell. How much better could it be than that? As I move my eyes around. You're not stuck anymore. Jesus just dealt with your primary. He dealt with obstacle number one to get you saved. And if he chooses to do anything after that, that's icing on the cake. That's the cherry on the top of the sundae. And so, in closing, I just want to touch bases on this. In the New King James Version, friend, or a variation of the word, is used 115 times. Three times it is specifically used in Proverbs 18:24, which reads, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, mind you, there are 112 more remaining usages of friend, but guess what? Our main passage doesn't say anything about a friend. Did y'all catch that? We're assuming that these folks were friends, but it doesn't say that they were friends. There are 115 other times when they talked about friends, but not that particular passage. Could it be that these men who saw this person in need were just being friendly? They saw a need, decided to do something about it, and chose to be friendly. But it didn't say they were friends. See, how many of us remember that person that told us about Christ? That may not have been, they may have been a stranger to us, but yet here we are. And we think back over our lives and realize, yes, that person was a stranger, but yet now that person is a friend or a brother and sister in Christ. They're much more than just that stranger that told us about Christ. See, look here. You have, at one point in time, may have been that frozen person that needed salvation, and yet you're here. But had it not been for that stranger that told you, that those of us who were told by strangers, you wouldn't be here because of him or her. And so, quite possibly, in this act of being friendly, they may have developed a friendship and became friends through that experience. But again, it took quite possibly what could have been a stranger to be concerned about another one, to bring him to the healer, to bring that person to Christ. See, some of us know that experience firsthand. But most of us, actually not even most, all of us needs to be that friend that carries somebody else to Jesus, that brings somebody to Jesus. Because somebody needs to know about Jesus. Somebody needs to be healed. Amen? How many of you agree this morning? And so, because God has now become real in your life, and your life has now been changed forever, and now it's our turn to go tell a friend about Jesus. Again, it's real change now. Go bring a friend. It's as simple as that. Amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. How many of us, I know many of us know, and we know that we are saved. But I want to talk to somebody who may not be. So I'm going to talk to a friend that may have come because a friend has invited them, who don't know what this salvation means. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm here because you brought me, because of the day you invited me. But as simple as this, if we were to die today, God forbid, but if God were to call us home, and we have not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives, we're separated from him. There is no salvation without accepting him as Lord. And so as you bow your head and close your eyes, I want us to just reflect this morning. What does salvation mean? Salvation just doesn't mean going to heaven and not going to hell. It's based upon this friendship, this relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. And you may be here this morning and you don't know what a friend of God is like. Being a friend of God, knowing God and not just knowing about him. You may be asking yourself, man, I'm here because I had a friend that brought me to Jesus. But now it's up to me to make the next step to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And if that's you this morning, I want you to just put your hands in the air. I don't want to embarrass you this morning. I just want to do what comes naturally, which is to have you ask the Lord into your heart and for us to navigate through the crowd to get you to Jesus. Is there anyone with their hands raised that needs to know Jesus this morning? Amen. Which means we're all saved in the house of the Lord. Amen. But my next challenge is for all of us. All of us know somebody that we may think doesn't know Christ, quite possibly through their actions. We may know that there's folks that have this resistance to Christ and the things of the church. But they need a love. They need a love that goes beyond the walls of this church. They need to be shown the love of Christ. They need to be prayed for. They need to be know that someone cares about their concerns. And so if that's you this morning, you know somebody, you have that person in your mind and your heart is fluttering. I want you to think about that person throughout the week. And I want you to just invite that person to come to church with you. Invite that person to get to know Jesus through you. I can't go to school with everyone. I can't go to work with everyone. But you have been strategically placed in those places to tell somebody about Christ. Will you do that? I say, will you do that? Because this isn't for me. This is for you being the assist person to get that person the salvation that they desire, that salvation that they need, that they too will go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that concludes our service this morning. I have one more question, we'll get to that. Amen. One more thing before I let you go. Andy's coming!